Accession number 30494, reel number 3.
A hideous voice on that thing, because I've heard it.
Oh, yes. What was it that made you choose the Wrens in the first place?
Well, it was pretty obvious, because my father had been in the Navy, my grandfather had been in the Navy, my home was near Portsmouth, and I had lots of sub-lieutenants in my life. So I was a Wren. I couldn't have been, you know, I knew a whole loads of naval officers. I'd been to children's parties at Portsmouth since I was a little girl in the barracks. And my mother had loads of friends in the Navy, so there was nothing else I really would have done. Just, I think I was engaged to someone in the Navy at the time. Can't remember. But I just knew just so many people. And I got to know the air raid shelter in the barracks very well, which was huge. It was underneath the ground. And we always take our knitting with us. I don't know why everybody had their knitting. And you'd hear the bombs banging away, and then you'd hear, "All clear," and you'd say, "Well, I've done quite a lot of this." It's ridiculous. But Portsmouth was very badly bombed. It was appalling. I found an old book the other day, which was just illustrations of Portsmouth being bombed, and it was horrific. I'd forgotten how bad it was. And there was a lot of looting, which was so awful, by little children, poor people's children, because all this stuff would be thrown out onto the pavement, you know. And it couldn't, I suppose they couldn't resist it.
What were the Wrens barracks themselves like at Portsmouth?
Wrens, I never went into a Wrens barracks because my home was near Emsworth. I could either come back by, for a time I shared a flat. There wasn't a Wrens place to begin with. So I shared a flat with another Wren officer, and that was bombed. Then I moved out and lived at home for a time, and used to take a little train into Portsmouth. Worked sort of like that, and I used to get a lift sometimes by car backs and forwards. But it was pretty nasty. My home was between Havant and Emsworth, and a lot of the time we slept on the floor in the drawing room. And then there were a few weeks when we had no running water. That was awful. You know, there were things like that. No electricity. That was all cut off. Candles. And then, to begin with, the Wren officers, who were mostly naval officers' wives, I suppose, were very bossy and wouldn't let us, the ordinary Wrens, wear makeup. Being on the stage, I'd always worn a lot, you know, no makeup. So, of course, what I did was, I used to put my lipstick and everything in my gas mask, because we had forced to wear gas masks. Wherever you went, you had to take your gas mask. Even if you went to cinema, you had to take your gas mask. And so I kept all my makeup and my gas mask. I think we all did. And then our uniform was pretty awful to begin with because it was sort of dished out after about the first 3 or 4 months of war when we didn't have any to begin with. And then we were given suits that didn't fit and heavy black lace shoes, which were awful, and thick black stockings, no tights in those days. And that was rather, and then it got smartened up, you know.
What was your uniform then when you went to Egypt?
Oh, we wore white. Oh, in the summer we wore white suits, and in the winter, winter navy blue ones, white, quite smart white suits with white hats. I don't think I've got any photographs. I tried to find one. I could only find what I did with all my, that's all my husband's stuff. That's an awful picture. After the war, I got, that's an awful picture of me, the Wren officer. That's a horrid one. My son's got a nicer one. I look as if I'm sneering. It's not a very nice one. And then after the war, long after the war, long, long after the war, I got a job teaching etiquette to sergeants who'd just become officers. Yes. And they used to, we used to have a great laugh. Because they'd be sergeants one day and officers the next, and the officers' mess was quite different to the sergeants' mess. Sergeants' mess at a dinner, lunch party, you sit, always sit next to your wife in the sergeant's mess. Officers' mess, you don't. You sit next to other people's wives. And it's slightly different. And sometimes some of them weren't sure about knives and forks and that sort of thing. And what RSVP stood for and all this stuff. Mm.
What happens if one makes an error in etiquette?
Nothing. Everyone just laughs. I think everyone did. It couldn't matter less. Though they used to ask me awful questions on purpose, teasing me, you know. Lady Style, would you please explain how I use a bidet? Oh, God. They were terribly naughty. But it was great fun. And I just did that for a while. And then I taught etiquette to some Japanese ladies who want to know about English etiquette. And of course, they have much more etiquette than we do. So that was ridiculous. And to some other people in different countries, English etiquette, how it differed from theirs. Well, that was quite fun. Mm.
What was your pay when you were at Wren?
My pay? I think at the end of the thing, at the top, probably was about £6 a week. That was about my top. But you see, you were fed. And plane journeys, because I flew from Alex to Malta. That was quite frightening. And the plane after me crashed and all Wrens were killed in it. The plane, you sat facing each other with your luggage underneath you. And didn't get any food or drink. Well, it was a short journey, of course, but coming back to England was a longer journey from Malta. And I was dying of hunger. And we were each given a little, tiny little cardboard box with a sandwich and a bit of cake in it, and I think a glass of water. But I was escorting these four pregnant wrens who were all dying of hunger, and I gave them my ration. I couldn't help it. Really, things have changed so much. Mm. These incredible things that happen now and there, you know.
Was there ever any sense among the women in the Wrens that they might perhaps be wanting to take a more active role in the services?
Well, they did take a pretty active role.
Being involved in aboard ships, that sort of thing.
Well,
More like as they are today.
What, to meet as a first lieutenant or something like that?
Well, being able to be on a par with the men.
Well, some of them certainly were. I mean, there were Wren officers who were surgeon, who were certainly on a par with the paymasters and the And I was on a par because I was a fleet mail officer, so I was on a par as a post, as a lieutenant or something. Yes, so, oh yes, there were lots of jobs that certainly were. And 80, some of them, I wonder if there were female ADCs, I can't remember, but that wasn't a very. It was some of the Wrens had very important jobs, mostly regarding health or something. I mean, and secrecy. There was a lot of very important jobs in that world, which you probably know all about.
To what extent was there a prohibition against the Wrens mixing with the male sailors, either aboard ship or?
Oh, none at all. I mean, as I say, on this trip going out, Hedy, who was my junior to me, a very pretty little Wren officer, and she had she used to wash now, and her boyfriend, who was an RNVR lieutenant. no, we were all, I mean, I went to loads of admiral's parties and captain's parties and things. If you were, no, there was none. If you, and of course, a lot of Wren officers were married to naval officers, enormous number. So, there was no sort of feeling of, I think some of the Wren officers thought they were very superior to some of the naval officers.
Mm. You mentioned the talk of VD, the lack of it, and the pregnancy of the girls later on.
Yes.
Was that something that was addressed? And were the girls informed of?
It was scandalous at the beginning of the war, absolutely scandalous, and you were dismissed immediately. I mean, one poor Wren officer I knew who was pregnant. They were absolutely horrible to her. She was just chucked out. But that all changed because they couldn't afford to be, you know. I think it was accepted that it did happen, and they were quite kind to the mothers-to-be. I believe there was a special hospital in London or somewhere where you could have your baby. And because, of course, sometimes the father was dead. I mean, that so often happened. Some poor girl would get pregnant and then find her sailor or soldier had been killed. So they were, on the whole, in the end, towards the end of the war, totally sympathetic. About VD, I didn't really know much. I don't think, I'm sure there must have been an awful lot of it. On these service certificates that you had to fill in about every sailor, I remember not being able to spell it. Every sailor, you had to say whether it had gonorrhea, and I don't know how to spell gonorrhea, or syphilis. These two things had to be on every service certificate. And I remember thinking, what's gonorrhea? I'd never heard of either of them. And then there was a place in Alexandria. It wasn't a musky. It had a name. It was where all the sailors used to go to pick up prostitutes, and they were warned against. It was a red light district anyway, and they were warned against that. And I don't know, but I had about 12 sailors and 2 marines in my fleet mail office, because it was a huge office, because all the mail, as I say, came that round there from the Middle East, came to Alex, had to be censored, and then went on to its different ships. And I got terrible trouble once. The only really bad trouble I ever got into, my job as the fleet bearer was to seal all the sacks of mail before they were sent off. And I just clench something, and then the chief Royal Marine or petty officer would know which destination it was for, because they were all top secret, so any one person wasn't to know. And I didn't know it, but in one of the mailbags there was a cat. And the cat, of course, tore all the mail to shreds, and the mail arrived in Turkey or somewhere, and I got into terrible trouble. Can you imagine? Of course, I was so upset because poor sailors, all their mail torn to bits and a dead cat. And I got the signal about sending dead cats. I mean, some people thought it was very funny, but I was terribly upset. Wasn't funny at all. That's the worst thing that happened to me.
How did the logistics of sending all the mail work? Were there specific ships to
mail?
Send mail?
No, I think what happened was, just from the pink list, you'd find the mail would go to somewhere like Malta, for instance, and then from there it would go to the nearest port where the ship was going to be. But it all had to be terribly secret.
But it mostly worked?
It worked. It had to work. It just, if it didn't work, it was terrible. But people used to get terribly upset. As I say, because they didn't know whether their wife, whether they had a daughter or a son, they didn't know whether they were still married, they didn't know if their house burned down. Their mail was the most important thing. And then it all attached to my great big mail office, which was huge, huge, was another office, which was censor, where the three Wren officers censored all the mail. And they even censored. I mean, they took the censorship so over the top, I think. They even censored the uniform sent from Gives, which was the naval officers there. They'd open the parcels and look to see there was nothing in the uniform pockets or anything before that was all censored. Parcels were censored. People were sending cakes. Everything was censored. It went far too far. It was ridiculous. But I suppose they were... I was sent on board one German ship, which I never discovered why. Myself and another Wren officer, it was a German hospital ship, and we were sent on board, this was in Alexandra, to see if there were any of the patients were not German or something. They thought they might be. The ship, I don't know, we had to open cupboards and drawers, and this silly Wren officer and I, she was equally silly as I was. We thought if we did suddenly find a great big escaping German, or we'd be terrified. Anyway, after that hospital ship had left Alexandra, it was blown up. So they must have thought something odd was happening. But you had to be very careful you didn't give away secrets. I mean, I would never have said, oh, I'm going on board HMS something for drinks, unless I'd known that was a party that the captain and admiral were going to, and everyone was, in case it was just a little ship that was creeping in. And then an awful thing happened. My chief petty officer had a little dog called Chocker. Chocker was an expression, if you were fed up, you were Chocker. And I don't know why this dog was called Chocker, but it was a sweet little dog, and it got rabies. And that was absolutely dreadful. It meant everyone who'd touched that job had to have an injection straight into the tummy. And not one injection, but about six, you know. It was quite long. It was a terribly, terrible thing to get rabies. And the poor dog, of course, had to be destroyed. And that was rather a dreadful thing that happened. That and putting the live cat in a bag, I think those are the two worst things that happened to me. But I've only got two friends who are still alive from my Egypt days, two Wren officers. One's in a nursing home now, and the other is Hedy, who was much younger than me, and she's her son is now, he's frightfully grand. He's whatever you are when you're grander than a judge, he's right at the top of them. She was very clever.
You joined the day after the war was declared,
yes,
you said.
Yes, the day after Neville Chamberlain told us war had started, yes.
How long were you signed up for? Were you signed up for a specific length of time? Or
no, as long as you
duration.
Could spare it. As long as you were alive, I think, as long as you could stick it. As long as you were a good girl. I mean, if I'd done anything wrong, I would have been chucked out. But you weren't signed up for a specific time. No.
Did you have an idea at that time as to how long the war would last?
Not the faintest idea, no. I mean, I thought it was terribly exciting. I thought to go to war was thrilling. I was so excited, and I thought myself I'd have a machine gun or something. On my age group, we all thought it was terribly exciting. It was just a year after the war I'd been going, and we'd lost a few friends. We knew it wasn't exciting. And I used to lie in bed crying sometimes because I could hear aircraft above, and you'd know in the morning there'd be so many more little dead people. The air raid shelters were terrifying. I went into one or two in London when I was working at Centre Office, and it could be very crowded. And I tell you what would terrify me, undergrounds, because lots of people spent the night in the underground. They went Sloane Square underground. I remember going into once late at night. I wasn't staying the night there, but a lot of people were bedded down from their houses. They'd got their bedding, women were breastfeeding their children, people were handing around sandwiches in the underground. And of course the atmosphere was filthy, you can imagine. And lots of people, I think you were forbidden to smoke, I'm not sure about that. But with the trains passing and the children crying and the... It was an awful, awful... They'd be there all night. They thought that was the safest place to be, but I'm not sure one it was. I think there was a... Yes, I think one of the undergrounds was hit and it... I know the stations were very vulnerable. They were always trying. They had little tiniest bit of light in the station, almost pitch dark. It was really scary. In fact, London, after a bit, didn't become a very amusing place because of the blackout. And so it was incredible, really, although the war had been over a year when I went there, to go to New York and find everything blaze light, and I couldn't get over it. I went to Woolworths, I remember, to buy all my family presents, and of course the Woolworths in New York was absolutely enormous because it was Woolworths, was an American, started there. I couldn't believe, and everyone gave me a list of what they wanted me to buy them in New York when I was in England. And I had this huge list of that. It was fabulous. And of course, a lot of English girls, service girls, to married GIs. And that wasn't always a success, because they thought, just because they were American, they'd be rich. Everyone thought Americans were rich. And then they'd marry them and find they lived in some plantation with no money at all. And they, that was a dreadful shock. Mm. And the Americans were very popular when they first came over, because they brought, they had, what's the American nappy called? It had a special name. Where you got, they brought over tights, which we'd never seen before, and nylon stockings, which we'd never seen before, and all sorts of things that were so exciting. And so they had masses of English girlfriends for a time, you know. They were just so popular.
Were you aware that that might cause tension among the English men?
Oh, yes, it did. Absolutely. I don't think the Englishmen could bear them. The Yang. There was this thing. Outside the Ritz, overfed, over here, and over something from America. Yanks Go Home was written all over the place. Yanks Go Home, overfed, over something, and well, it was very rude anyway. We liked them in the end, but to begin with, they were furious because the girls all flocked to them. And also, they brought this lovely music with them. You know, there was this lovely jazz. We had it, but they really brought it. There was much more jazz when they were. And they brought funny dances, which we'd never seen before, like the Big Apple. And I think Twist was after the war. But the dancing was much more exciting. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek, you know, all those dances. And that was very exciting. Hmm.
Were you given anything in the way of weapons training as a Wren?
When I was in the Wrens, I'm sure not. No, I didn't think we ever touched a weapon. No. We had Polish guards, elderly, I think they were in their 60s, that Polish army officers, or not officers, I think they were Polish army anyway. And they were used as guards outside all Wren's quarters. They were very polite and very nice. They had weapons, of course. But I'm sure we didn't know. No, we certainly didn't.